Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode will deal with the necessity of the armor of God in the lives of believing ones, or in the lives of the constantly believing. The scripture or the biblical documents are very clear that we are to grow up unto him in all things. That is, we are to grow up unto the Iesus. It is important that we grow up in faith. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians stands as one of the great documents of the faith and of church history. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul lays out that in a very wonderful way the doctrinal position of the believer, of all believing ones. And then the document becomes very pragmatic. Then at the Paul states the very real doctrinal position of believers and talks about how this positional reality is to be lived out here in the cosmos. And so Paul deals with the walk of the believer. And so the scope of that walk is indeed marvelous, because everything within the life of the believing one has to do with who he is and who he or she is in Christ. The greatest prepositional phrase in the New Testament documents is the prepositional phrase in Christ, in Christos. The Greek preposition in, transliterated en, is a preposition of rest. And so it speaks the position of the believing one who comes to Christ. It is a preposition of rest. It means the cessation of those things from the past. It means the cessation of the conflict and the darkness, the scotia that sin created within the heart of that individual. Are now, these things are now done away with in Christ. The believing one is at rest in Christ. And so he has been placed, he or she has been placed in a new position and in a new situation, one that is qualitatively new, kainos. A qualitatively new situation has been introduced into the life of the believing one. There has been this ontological separation from the past. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we at one time, the believing ones, were dead in trespasses, which means to overstep a boundary and sins. and we will define sin as any want or any lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be in act, disposition, or state. In the Old Testament documents, sin is defined by one's actions, or righteousness is defined by one's actions. In the Old Testament, there are different Hebrew words that tell us that we as individuals receive the consequences of our actions. There are certain suffixes in Hebrew words that tell us this. And so the one who practices sin receives the consequences of sin. There is this inherent unity between action and result, or action and consequence. And so it is very important to be aware of the profound legacy that we have in the documents of both the Old Testament and in the New Testament documents. This is why there was never any need to develop a system of psychotherapy for God's community. Because the believing ones live on a different plane. There is an immediate accountability to God. And having said that, let me say that there is this therapeutic relationship that one has with God. There is the therapon. It is a Greek word that is used in the scriptures, the therapon, or the servant, or the healer, therapon. And then there is the other word in the Greek New Testament that has to do with physician. And so, I shall go into that another time, but what I want to focus on at this time is Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of theos, that you may be able, that is powerful, the dunamis in the Greek, to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there is methodias. And it has to do with the methods that the enemy uses to both attack, infiltrate, and to create a topos, a base of operation within the lives of the believing ones. The word devil is the transliteration of diabolos, which means one who divides. One who divides. And so Paul is being very specific in his use of this particular term. He did not use Satan or Satanos, which means the opposer, or one who opposes. He uses devil, one who divides. And literally, the one who divides people for no reason. Notice the strong language, and the strong and compelling language of Paul. Finally, my brethren, and he used this also in Colossians 1:11, be strong. Notice the verb be. It is a present imperative. Be strong, or strengthen, present imperative. Be strong in the Lord. Not in one's own cognitive perception of certain doctrine, but be strong in the Lord. And he's going to explain this. Be strong in the Lord. And in, the Greek preposition in the power of the dunamis of his might. And so, strong, power, might, strong, power, might. There are three different words here in the Greek for power, and I'm going to go with those words in a later show. Verse 11, is very important because it begins with the verb put on. It is what we call an aorist imperative middle. That means middle voice means that the believer or the individual acts upon himself in a certain way. Aorist means at a point in time. The imperative, of course, means to do something at once, put on the armor of God. Notice, and we sometimes say the believer's armor or the Christian's armor. And the scripture very specifically states it is the armor of God, the armor of Theos, that is designed for the conflict, for the intense conflict that we, or conflicts that believing ones will face within the cosmic system. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that in this world you will have tribulation. In the Greek it reads, in this world or in this cosmos, you will be in tight places. Isn't that interesting? He said in this world you will be in situations that create intense pressure in your lives. You will be squeezed, as it were. Sometimes the straining or the squeezing will be in such a way that it will strain you to, as some would say, your last nerve. Paul has an interesting view of this particular doctrine in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul talks about that reality. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he writes in chapter 1, verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, weighed down, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. This is a very wonderful chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament, because it illustrates the necessity of the armor of God. And notice that in that when Paul talks about the armor of God and its necessity within the life of the believer, notice the present imperative verb put on. And at no point does he say that we are to put off. We are to put on the whole armor of God. Literally, and the armor of God. And the believer does not avail himself of the armor of God is starting to be a casualty in the cosmic conflict. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. We will continue to deal with this passage, and it's important for each and every believer, because it creates spiritual health in our lives and wholeness. We need this. Thank God for this. I'll speak with you next time in your math class. Have a wonderful day.